Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all again this morning and a chance to take another look at another precious promise of grace from the Scriptures. We've been saying over the course of these morning assemblies that the heart of Christianity is that God is a faithful promiser. That He makes promises, He keeps His promises, He gives us precious promises of grace. And we're supposed to mine those up, treasure those up, and then live off of them. To know them and to know God through them. Well, yesterday we looked at that very familiar text of the song that we sing quite often in the morning assembly from Isaiah 43 that talks about God's promise of His gracious presence. That He comes in the midst of our loneliness, which we said is sort of a crazy result of our sin, that we say to God, leave us alone. We want to be left alone. And it wants us our deepest delight and it's our deepest fear. And God comes in the midst of that and He does not leave us alone. He gets involved. He stays involved in our lives. And then He also is present with us. He promises not to leave us or to forsake us, to welcome us, to calm us, and to cheer us by His grace. And we had a choice yesterday to look at our circumstances and say, oh, we're orphans living alone in a merciless universe. Or we could bank on that promise of His presence and live in light of His grace. Well, this morning I want to take a look at another promise of God from the Scriptures. And this time it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9. It's a precious promise of grace. I want to give you a little word of context on this. It is a time in Paul's life, the Apostle Paul, in which he is dealing with debilitating weakness. He has something he calls a thorn in the flesh, sort of an image of something that makes him feel weak and powerless and unable to live his life again and again and again. He prays to God over and over and over and over again, and God doesn't take away this debilitating weakness from his life, but He gives him a promise in the midst of that weakness. And this is the promise of God. Paul says this, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, back in April 2011, unemployment in the state of Florida had reached a very high number. It was 10%. That meant that all the folks who wanted to find jobs in order to feed their families and to live their lives, 10% of those people couldn't find jobs. They were unemployed. They were weak. They were powerless to find jobs. It was a very humiliating, very debilitating state. And so in Florida, this one agency called Workforce Central had a very creative, a very bright idea to help those 10% of the people that couldn't find jobs to find jobs. They took $73,000 of tax money and put it into this innovative program to motivate job seekers and to give them sort of a little extra push to go out there and find the job that they need. They called it the CAPE Ability Challenge. In other words, they took the idea of being jobless and unemployed and turned it into this sort of cartoon battle between the person who is seeking the job and Dr. Evil Unemployment. And they literally had made these cardboard cutouts of Dr. Evil Unemployment with a scowl on his face and a notice of being fired, a pink slip, a dismissal form in his hand, kind of staring you down. And they put that right at the door of the office. And so you came into the door of Workforce Central and you were supposed to punch Dr. Evil Unemployment in the face and get a sense of empowerment from that. And then, after he'd swung a fist in his face, or they even had a sledgehammer you could knock him over with, they gave you a shiny red superhero cape. And you're supposed to wear this around as a sign of being supercharged. You're going to go take by force this job search. And the idea was they're going to lighten people's spirits. They're going to superheroize the job search process. And these people could discover their cape ability by wearing this red cape. They would be weak no more, powerless no more. They were going to divide and conquer. They were going to take down Dr. Evil Unemployment. Well, as you can imagine, some people thought this was pretty silly idea, right? It trivialized the whole sense of being weak and not being able to find a job. It made kind of fun of the gut-wrenching process of not being able to provide for your family. And it left people with, literally, a red cape and a good pep talk. And so they're interviewing people as they're coming out of the office one day. And this one man was asked, are you going to wear your red cape? And he said, would you wear it? This is a mockery of my situation. This is a mockery. It's a cartoon of my dire need. Here's the deal. All of us know what it's like. It's a very common experience to know what it's like to be weak and to be needy and to feel powerless. Think about the activities you've tried at camp for the first time. You've picked up a tennis racket and you've tried to hit the ball over the net. It looks so easy on TV, and yet you feel so weak and powerless and unable to do it. Maybe you picked up a golf club and tried to hit one to that little floating disc in the water, and you can't even get it off of the ground. Maybe you've tried to ride a horse for the first time. You know, we try all these different activities, and we feel the weakness and the powerlessness of them. Maybe it's a situation in your family that you just can't change. You're at the mercy of your parents, and you just can't get anything through that. Maybe it's expectations at school. You know the AP classes that await you. You know the summer reading books that you haven't read. You know the desires of coaches and of teachers and advisors who are all telling you to be strong and to make your imprint on the world, and you feel weak and powerless and needy in the face of that. Maybe it's the fact that you've dealt with temptations and with sins, and they just don't go away, and you feel so weak and powerless and needy in front of them. We all know what it's like to feel weak and needy. And while that's a common experience, I also want to say I think we have a common reaction to it. I think most of us in this room have an allergic reaction to weakness and dependency and to ask for help and to admit that we can't get it done, that we're powerless in the face of certain things we face. And sometimes we're so embarrassed by how needy and weak and powerless we are, how weak our hearts are, how needy they are. And so some of us avoid weakness like the plague. We do anything to avoid appearing to be out of control, not have it all together. We don't want to look like we're indebted to people and we're weak. When my wife and I moved from Nashville to St. Louis to go to seminary, we spent almost 3 days packing up everything we owned, all of our furniture, and stuffing it into a U-Haul truck. And then we drove 7 hours to St. Louis. And we got there, and there was a team of people waiting for us, and they unpacked our truck for us in 45 minutes. And they also had dinners for us for the whole week. And so we're standing there in our apartment, these people who had done in 45 minutes what it took us days to do, have all these boxes stacked around us, and this guy who turned out to be one of my good friends asked me a simple question. He goes, "Could we stay here and help you unpack some of these boxes? Can we at least set up your bed for you?" And I was so embarrassed by being so weak and needy, I said, "Oh, no, we've got it under control here. No, thank you. You've done enough already." Because I just didn't want to have to be so weak as to ask for more help than had already been given to me. We'll do anything to avoid looking needy. So what is God's promise for people like us who have an allergic reaction to weakness, who avoid powerlessness like the plague? His promise for us this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 is this: "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." He promises all sufficient grace. Grace that meets us in our weakness. Powerful grace for weak, needy, powerless people. And this is a hard word, and it's a beautiful word at the same time, because what it says is that weakness is the doorway to strength. That when you confess your inability, that's what produces a hunger for the all-sufficient grace of God that can only be found in Jesus. Notice what God doesn't do. He doesn't come to you with a pep talk. He doesn't come to you with a red cape. He doesn't trivialize and mock your weakness. He doesn't say, "Oh, you can do it. Get back on your feet. Try harder. I'm here to help." He says the one criteria, the only criteria for being a Christian is need. All that you need is nothing. All that you need is need. All that you need is weakness. And then Jesus comes with the all-sufficient grace of His work for you. So what does that mean? It means that you can come to Him overwhelmed. You can come messy. You can come needy. You can come broken. You can come out of control. You can come burdened. You can come with a wandering mind. You can come with a wandering heart. You can come absolutely empty-handed. You know, we want to get rid of our helplessness before we come to Jesus. We want to put on our cape and say, "Look, we're really capable." And He says, "No, I'll have none of that. I don't want you to demonstrate your ability," He says. "I want you to show me your weakness so I can come to you with my grace." A lot of us think of God's grace as this tunnel that we're passing through, that we'll need it for a little while, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel when we won't need it anymore. We can say, oh, look, God, I'm really healthy again. That's not the biblical view of grace. The biblical view of grace is it's a black hole. You never get to the bottom of it. You never exhaust your need, but you never overdraw God's supply of sufficient grace. Can you be weak today? Can you cry out for help? If you can, all sufficient grace is there at the moment of your cry. If you can't, you forfeit the grace that could be yours. So we all have a choice today. We can pretend to be strong, we can put on our shiny red capes, and we can punch Dr. Evil Weakness in the face and say, look, I'm a lot better. But you aren't. Or you can say, oh Lord, I am weak and needy, and you can receive God's promises. Now, how can you take that choice into a practical step? I dare you today, in some sincere way, to be able to be in a conversation with someone and say, I'm a mess, I'm needy, but God's grace, Jesus' grace is all sufficient for me today. And then you can say, once you've declared your weakness, could you help me with something? Just ask for help from somebody else. I'm thinking of a very specific situation in my life that I'm going to have to go from this morning assembly and go ask for help because I'm so weak and needy and I can't do it myself. What is that for you today? God's promise for weak, powerless, needy people is, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect, not in your strength, not in your capability, but in your weakness. All sufficient grace for needy people. Let me pray for us to that end this morning. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you that you don't despise our weakness, that you don't mock it, you don't, you're not bothered by it. It doesn't annoy you. Lord, help us to admit it so that we could receive your precious promise of grace, all sufficient grace in the midst of our weakness and need. We pray it in your name. Amen.